everyone. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Darnell.
I'm Angela.
And this is Garrison House.
Garrison House Podcast.
That's right. We're here today. So,
yay.
Yeah, we're having fun and just getting things in order. You know, certain things like, we'd like to welcome you.
Yes,
we want you to subscribe.
Yes.
We want you to follow us on all our platforms.
And yes.
Also, our we'll have it at the end. I believe at the end we have our other platform that shares our music that we have. Ooh. So if it's not there, we'll load it in. But we want you to go on garrisonhouse.bandcamp.com. That's where our music's at. It's also, that's our new tip jar. You can still go to the garrisonhousepodcast.com and leave a tip. But if you go to our Bandcamp site, you can leave a tip and get something out of it.
Yes, you can download our new music, Garrison House Music.
Yep. So we have some, the Power Resilience is there. That's the one that's there. If you can see it on the screen, the one in the middle, that's the one that's on our Bandcamp site. So you can just go over there to bandcamp.com, garrisonhouse.bandcamp.com. And of course, it's not Bandcamp for real, but you know, you can go there and get some music and then we can go from that point. But anyway, we have a great program for you today. Today is the day that we have so much going on. So we're going to go right into stuff. So the first thing we want to talk about is my grandmother's birthday, which I guess it wanted me to do the whole thing. But anyway, we're going to talk about my grandma's birthday real quick. Then we'll go into the ad. Thank you, Mr. Fingers.
Happy birthday, Grandma Garrison. Yeah,
today she would have, tomorrow on the 18th, she would have been 100 and something.
Seven?
Yeah, 107.
Wow. Because she was born in 1918. Grandma had a cool birthday.
Yeah, 18. I mean, that's a real cool birthday. So yeah, she would have been this. You can see in the picture there, my grandma. That was really the last. I told Angie, that's the last professional level photo I took of my grandma. I think we had just got my camera. Came out really nice. And some candids of her on the phone, her in the care facility she was in. Also with my grandpa, who, they were together over 50 years.
Over, yes.
My two cousins, which prayerfully July 4th weekend or that week will be there. They are calling for a family reunion. So I believe she is the matriarch. So she's calling for an all family reunion. So we'll be heading to South Carolina sometime next year, next summer. To spend time with my grandma's side of the family, which we haven't had a reunion where all of us were together in decades. I don't even think we had one. So that's where we're at with my grandma. But
you're wondering why I wore a hat in honor of grandma.
Yes.
Grandma, this is actually grandma's hat. This is actually a pretty cool hat.
It's one of the hats that they didn't find when they were the cousins and they were coming over here getting hats.
Yeah, this is a black hat. I like this hat.
I'm about to rock this hat. She does not wear hats.
I know.
So when she walks into the hat, they're gonna be like, Angela?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not, because I think last year she wore the red one.
Yeah, it was like a orangey red. I tried to find it, but I couldn't.
It's in there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, this is my little hat. So that's the reason why I'm wearing a hat today in honoring of my grandmama.
Yeah, she was
Grandma Garrison.
She was a fashionable lady.
Grandma was the fashionista during that time.
She fashionistas beyond the word. She would walk out the house with her face without her makeup on. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at this picture here, that's how she made. I think she may have put she may have found some way to put some makeup on. We had somebody who was connected to the family that loved her and. My cousin's mother used to be one of the people who would see her when she was at the same facility where my cousin's mother, little cousin's mother, worked. And so, yeah, she was a fashionista even in her older age.
She liked decorations. She liked beauty. She was surrounded with nice things. I was gonna bring something up. She had these punch bowls. I mean, we don't do fancy parties anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I still have chinaware. She had crystalware. She had, I have silver. I mean, grandma had two or three buffet cabinets full of plates and chinaware, silverware, crystal. She had pots. She was always the party. She's always doing parties. And it was no paper plates.
No,
It was no paper cups.
and we used to have a used to be a stove in the basement,
Downstairs in the
so
basement.
she would cook upstairs, downstairs.
Downstairs,
She had
yes.
a full laundry lay, I mean, it was a laid out
Right.
laundry.
That's what they used to do.
And so she was one of those women who took
Took
things to the
pride.
next level, right?
Took
And she
pride in
took
what she
pride in
did in herself
herself,
and took pride in her and
she loved dressing me and grandpa. Now she when Angie met me, I was wearing polyester. That was how my grandma dressed, because she said, "Well, you work in a cell, so you need to wear these kind." So she knew exactly what she needed to wear when I worked at Radio Shack, because she worked, she worked for people. She was a housekeeper. She took care of Van Horn, Mr. Van Horn's home. If
That's
those
just
from Detroit
unjusted
don't know
just a
who
little
Van
bit.
Horn is, Van Horn's is a local men's clothing store here. Used to be a men's clothing store here in Michigan. It went out of business. However, she was the housekeeper for Mrs. Van Horn up until she retired, and they became good friends. But yeah, she did not play. She knew how to entertain. She knew how to run a house. So that's my grandma. And that's one thing about being able to have life. I mean, we had her. She was around through our marriage. She loved Angie now. So this was her girl here. Something she did, I was like, okay, grandma, you need to. But anyway, those are different topics. But
Yeah, I
anyway.
remember grandma. She that's a testimony because I was at church and it just came to my mind. I want to get my hair done, and I think the next day, grandma gave me money to get my hair done. I didn't ask for her to do it. It was this guy. I was like, I was at church one day, and I don't know where that came to my mind. I was like, I want to get my hair done. And grandma, the next day, grandma calls me up and says, "Here's some money for your hair." I say, "Okay, Jesus."
So yeah, she was one
I didn't
who,
ask for it, but she did it. And I was like, oh, okay,
and
there
I can tell you this, she was very strict on how you look. When I went to church, it's like, why are you leaving like that? So even when I was going to Great Faith, I still had to wear suits out the house. Even if we would have had casual, she'd be like, you ain't going out this house. So there are certain things that she did not play with. She did not play with maintaining her appearance. So appearance was
you go.
everything for her, and I loved her for that. I love her. Some things you don't understand until they're gone. Some of the stuff that they did, you're like, well, I don't understand. Nah, I do.
I
Yes,
wish
she
you could.
fussed, but her fussing was all in love. It
I
was.
wish you had that photo with her holding Rain. I don't know if I don't know. I remember it came through our memories one
Yeah,
time.
she had.
Yeah, she had a we had a photo when our daughter was just a little baby, and I won't be able to find all
Yeah,
these
it's
photos,
thousands of
the
photos
photos.
in
So yeah,
our
I saw
tablets.
it somewhere one time, and I was like, oh man. I just thought about it. I wish I would have thought about it earlier, but okay.
But anyway, that's
Bye.
that. So we're gonna bounce over to our ad read, which I'm supposed to do first, but it is what it is. And so I had to go on ahead and do that. But anyway, as they say here, a lot of y'all don't realize I have been on a weight loss journey, literally a weight loss journey. And it's like the message says here, being fit is more than what's on the outside. Anthony Moses found it. Yeah, that's me actually working out. AMBT TotalFitness.com. Actually, I said it wrong. But anyway, I've gotten in shape. As you can see, I'm working out there, doing my workouts, and really doing that, doing what I'm supposed to do. And but anyway, go to AMTBFit.com. And say that you saw us on Garrison House, and they will take good care of you. It is some workout. You're going to work. You are going to get yourself together, get healthy. And so what you do is scan the QR code right there, and tell them that you heard us on Garrison House podcast, and they will take care of you. They will make sure you get your DEXA scan and all those great things that you need to get done, so you can get healthy. And as you can see, it didn't show up on the screen, but I was drinking one of the shakes. I love the shakes. So that was a carrot cake shake that time. I did the carrot cake, and I wanted something different. And so I said, well, let me try the carrot. Let me do carrot cake today. So I didn't do my normal shake. And I wish the video behind us was playing, but you know, new stuff. Y'all probably didn't notice it. But anyway, it's just the computer's being blessed. So we'll just deal with that later. But anyway, get in there and get with them. So now we are gonna go to our topic. Oh boy, yeah, this is gonna be a fun one. Let's go to it. Let's get into it. Failed plans. Is that where it's supposed to go? Yeah, that's where it's supposed to go.
Failed plans. It doesn't matter. We can just talk about it. Investing into 501 C3 organizations. So what are the, this is coming up because recently, we know recently there was a altercation while a pastor was live and on live during an actual mm-hmm. service. He was live during his extra service and he got robbed during the service. And so the pastor was very extravagant, eccentric. He wore his wealth on him, as they could say, you know, some hard on his sleeve. Yeah, he wore his wealth. So he had all his gold chains, diamonds and studs and expensive glasses. So thugs went on, he was live. Thugs went into his church while it was live and robbed him. Okay, so everybody's like, is this real? Is it? Yes, it was real. But that's not the issue. The problem was, as they were going deeper dive into his lifestyle,
court, as
they found that he was he was asking for investments of and one of an elderly woman invested in him in his whatever he was doing. I can't remember exactly what it was. And so people came up and said he basically fleeced this woman and frauded her out of her savings. And it was over, I think it was $90,000. And so was it fraud? They did convict him of fraud. They did convict him.
And, you see
and I think they allegedly convicted him. Well, I'm not quite sure. I thought this court case, he was indicted for fraud, but I thought he was already tried and convicted, but maybe not. I don't know. So he, I should say allegedly he was fraud. So was it considered fraud? You know, it could have been. We don't know the exact details until the court case brings everything out. Who did she invest in? Did she invest directly towards him, directly towards the church? Or did he invest in his the business that he was, I think he was supposed to get some investment properties. He was supposed to go in and he was supposed to build this in community. And he was asking for money to build this community. So was it a church or was it having to do with, or was it an actual real estate investment that he was under?
And so, he's.
So the NIC pastor is sentenced to 9 years for fraud. So he was, and he was sentenced. And that's one case. So I don't know if it was several people, but apparently, you know, one case.
They showed a lot of the, they showed a lot of it in there where he had, you know, basically got money from $500,000 from one person. But they really went after the $90,000 from a nurse and single mom in her 50s, basically our age. She had to pay $40,000 in legal bills as she fought him. So yes, she
right. So I don't know
$90,000 because he had to pay. He also has to pay for that. But the problem is this. Honestly, I'm saying this is alleged because some of the things it sounds like as we're reading it, he was trying to create a community, and a lot of pastors. Want to build something for their ministries, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so we don't know the full details. We have to pull up the case.
I think they really have is because since he was so eccentric and that he loved his gold, he loved his diamonds, he loved his cars and his house. And so just like anything, if you're going to flaunt it like that, people are going to assume that you took $90,000 from this single mom and used it for your own wealth and your own gain. And when the project failed, then they are assuming that you just took the money and ran. So that's kind of how fraud came about. We don't know. Again, we don't know the full story or the what could have been. What he did, did they find that? You know, what happened to? And that's the reason why we're saying, when these investments fail, what happens to the person's money? Should the person get the money back? I mean, that's kind of how it is. Or does it convert into something else? You know, so you intentionally gave money you intentionally gave money to help this person's investment go forward, but when did the investment fail? So is there a guarantee? Is there some type of money you're supposed to send back, go back? I mean, what, you know, we don't know what the contract stated, right? So that's kind of how it is.
Well, one of them was he was extorting a businessman for $500,000 for his alleged influence with current mayor, Eric Adams. So he basically was doing things, but honestly was, as we're digging deeper into this, he was found guilty of 5 criminal counts.
Okay, so it wasn't just her, that one $90,000. So yeah, I mean, I guess they found a way, because again, if you don't have nothing substantial to, no substantial claim to where that money was going, or what was done, and all you're doing is flashing your wealth, then of course people are going to assume the worst. Most, and you got to realize, a lot of pastors pastors are not like that. Even though, look, we all joke about you hear all the jokes about the giving, and pastors are asking for $1,000. There's this one where Juanita Bynum, she was asking for 21 people to give $1,000. That's nothing wrong with that. You know, but it's not like she was pointing out, you give me $1,000, you give me $1,000. Right. She just said there's 21 people in the sanctuary and she was asking for $1,000. If that wasn't for you, then what's
for you? That's called free will.
Right. It's not for you. You ain't heard God say to David, if you don't have it, then you don't have it. So again, but also remember, don't move out of sensationalize, out of emotions at that moment. And, you know, especially when you're talking about a large sum of money too, don't move out of, because you know, you're moving out of emotions. Oh, he's sounding good. He's doing it. You know, oh, I think I'm going to go ahead and give my money. I'm going to give $5,000. But then you go sit down in your seat and all of a sudden things start to play in your mind. They're like, well, what did I just do? So that's another thing. You got to make sure, step away for a minute. You know, if it's next day, you don't have to do it that same day. If it's the next day, you still feel like you should have gave it, then yes, you should give it to you. But please be careful. Don't move out on emotions.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he's got 9 years. And there's some reading up, you know, he bought $1.9 million in his auction. They auctioned off his property. So people will get their money back, $1.9 million, because in this situation, if they auctioned his assets, that's just off of one of the assets that they auctioned off.
Wow.
But she has $90,000 coming to her. Another person has $500,000. So before anybody can, banks or anybody can get their money, it goes, that asset has to be paid out. If I'm remembering, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not going to say the other line because that's not our line. We're not lawyers. However, if I remember correctly on a lot of these suits, if it's an auction, victims get their portion and whatever's left goes to other asset holders. So, but yeah, they sold his property. He had a property, a 6-bedroom home in New Jersey that auctioned for $1.9 million. Mm-hmm. He also has 2 apartment complexes.
So I'm thinking that's where the money was, like he was building something. So if it was showing that he was building something and investing, I guess again,
his indictment,
right?
I mean, we literally need to pull up his indictment,
right? Or the fact that what was really said. But again, not just really going, just focusing on him, just basically when you're investing, especially you're talking about churches or 501(c) organizations, sometimes it's not considered an investment. It could just be a what do you call it, honey?
It's a tax deduction.
Tax deduction. So make sure you do that. Just remember too, when you give money to whether Democratic or Republican political parties, when you give money to your political parties, that's not even deducted. I mean, so if you're saying that you're giving $10,000 to help push your party forward, that or your candidate forward, that's not a deduction, right, honey?
Nope.
So yeah.
So yeah, I'm trying to find.
Yeah. So that's one of the things too. So if you're investing $10,000 into a 501(c), it don't even have to be a church. It could be any 501(c) organization. If somebody develop a foundation or 501(c) to build a community center, and you invested $10,000, that's a tax deduction that you can write off because you're investing in that.
Some things are not deductible. Some things are, but we're going to go back into we'll look into this a little bit deeper because I wanted to read his indictment. Unfortunately, I pulled up the wrong indictment. I said, wait a minute, he didn't do bank robbery. but basically, not every pastor is
corrupt.
It's just in this situation, we're not going to say he was. We're just going to say allegedly.
Right. We don't know if we don't know. I mean, he got convicted. He got convicted of fraud.
Right.
I mean, so, but it depends on it. Was it his as a pastor or was his company. We don't know which one. It was him personally.
And then, we've been in situations where mayors. But doesn't matter.
Right. Right.
You're talking about.
It's just so happened he was a pastor, and that's what everybody was saying.
Recently, we had a mayor indicted, and somebody says, recently, another mayor just got indicted. Mm-hmm. But the media falsely said, oh, it's the first. Somebody says it's the first seated elected mayor that's been indicted by the government. I said, nah.
Was it the black woman somewhere?
Somewhere, but yeah. The mayor, we know a mayor that got indicted, and this is before this mayor, mm-hmm. and they were still in office. They lost their election bid. They were still running, but they were already in office. They got indicted, and they were just recently sentenced. So, yeah, there's people, people assume that all pastors are crooks. They live a lavish lifestyle. No, that's not true. I mean, we know this personally. We know that there's pastors who, our pastor really gets on, like, look, if they're not living right, if they're living right. They're not going to sit up here and beg members for money. And that's the issue. I've been part of ministries, visiting, working in some ministries. I'm always hearing, I've seen some of these people come into some of these ministries, not ours, who were fleecing for money.
And specifically, right. They were there. I mean, look, granted, revivals, used to have, church anniversaries, pastoral anniversaries. Right. So way back when, you used to have where you bring in your guest speaker and the guest speaker would bring in their choir. Mm-hmm. And so and then the guest speaker would give whatever. And then right. So that's how it was. Our pastor don't do that anymore. No. He don't do those type of things. You know, we just do it as a church in a whole. Yeah. We celebrate our own pastor. And so then they expect you to go and do that. And then as you were growing higher, and now here you are. So then now they're asking you, oh, could you come over? Because they know you're going to be able to give a lot more money than what they could have done when they first started off. So that's the reason why. Right. It's like, no, why am I'm giving you $10,000 because I'm starting to grow higher, and then now you talking about only one give me like $500 that you could have collected.
It's nothing wrong with pastors asking for money. The thing is, in this situation, we know of ministries where the congregation came together and they built communities. Right. It's just a matter of knowing the spirit of that pastor. And then, like I said, it's nothing wrong with the pastor having what he has. I mean, he has... if he did it honestly, he or she has a $1.9 million home. If they did it honestly.
Right. Nonprofit. If it's a nonprofit establishment, we don't know if this pastor's community centers or apartment complexes were nonprofit. He might have been doing for profit. So when you're doing stuff for profit, then you are more entitled to the fact where this money going. But when it is an event, if you're doing it as a nonprofit community, then you as a person who was donating it can ask for the tax deduction coming back to you. But for profit, there's no tax deduction.
And it depends on the organizations, because I'm not gonna mention my man's church. I'm just gonna. sometimes I look at, I'm going to say it, when I see the size of the church, and there are prosperous churches, pastors, but if I see the size of your church and
my
house is bigger.
That's like, if like me and my husband, we decided to go open up a church, sensationalize the word of God, and make you hooper and holler, run across the room, and only so that way you can give money to us. That's fleecy. And then we don't build. We just keep the money and pocket it in our pants and keep going, you know?
Yeah,
and then the next day we do the same thing. Then you're doing it as a job. You're not doing it as a work for the Lord, advancing the kingdom of the Lord.
When I see, when I look at a church, I'm going to be honest, because we go to our pastor is, has his own influence, his own income, his own revenue streams. Our church doesn't look like that. I mean, for somebody who's supposed to be up there, I'm, forgive me if I'm sounding judgmental. Yeah, you need to have your.
No matter what we think about Jamal Bryant, he may wear these weird clothing, but and it may be expensive clothing, but at least if the church doesn't right. look like it's from a
storefront,
a storefront 10 by 10 room they're having in this, you know.
And that's what that is. Looking at that, to me, it's like, okay, if I'm getting this amount of money from people, I'm going to say, hey, let's build a new facility. We're growing. But yeah, you know, like I said, there's nothing wrong with having a storefront and being affluent, but
to start, it's nothing wrong with that. Especially if that's what it is.
I'm pointing at the look, the look of the building.
And you're getting your clothes are getting more expensive. Your jewelry is getting more, your look is getting more expensive, but yet you're still standing in that 10 by 10 room. Something is not right.
Right.
You know, unless you're saying, I mean, I always look fit for what the environment that you're in. Okay. Even if the money wasn't even coming from the church, even if the money wasn't coming, that's fine, but fit the environment that you are in.
Right.
You know, you don't,
we're saying
are you trying to draw people because of the wealth? You know, that's how you're drawing the people in. You're not drawing people in like that.
And my question is the word, what's your word? You know, I never heard him. I just remember the day that he was on the internet and he on the streaming, and those gentlemen got indicted as well. So, which is interesting is he did that happened to him, but he also got indicted like the next year. He was indicted. So somebody had eyes on him, just like what's happening here. There always somebody watching you when you get to a certain level. It doesn't matter who you are. Every pastor, I'm going to say it, every pastor of influence gets occasionally. Somebody's running your background. They're verifying, okay, where's their money coming from?
I mean, people are trying to go after Kenneth Copeland.
Before
you were even born. And you try to go after him. He has, that's legacy. He has longevity. You can't touch that.
And whatever money he has, it was wisdom. And Kenneth Copeland, I mean, his organization is just not him.
Right.
He has other entities that generate.
He has international organizations.
He has
like everything.
He used to have a streaming company that handled a lot of ministries, a lot of companies to go through his content distribution network. So, yeah, there's pastors out here, believe it or not, there's a bishop who owns a content distribution network now. In fact, he's the original founder, sold it, and he got it back because they messed it up so bad. He took back over the company he founded. So yeah, there's pastors who have wealth, but they're generating their income through entities and businesses. So when people think that, oh, this pastor's that, whatever, you know, we're not going to dwell on this, but he was indicted. He's got 9 years, and that's not a negative reflection on all pastors.
Right.
At the end of the day, don't take what he did.
And please use wisdom. You know, one of the things, our pastor, if you're talking about God sending you 90, he's not going to automatically take it. He's going to, you know, no, he's not going to do
that. He had a lady give some money, and he gave it back. Somebody called. He said, look, that's integrity. She gave some amount, and I think the son called or something. And he's like, hey, you can have it.
No, I think what happened was she gave. But he was trying to give it back to her and she didn't want to give it back. So I think he called the son and told the son about it. And the son came and picked up the money for it.
So that's called integrity. Some pastors be like, oh, so you dropped that amount of money? Oh, you go ahead.
You're not here in the kingdom of God to make money.
No. And
here in our podcast, we accept all donations.
Yeah, and it's right there on the screen. Tips and donations.
GivesHousePodcast.com. And it is up to you. We're not out here, you know, if you feel, oh, I like you guys, keep moving it, keep going forward, go for it. Please, we're offering, we accept any tips and donations, but we do it because we enjoy doing it also.
Right, and it's fun, and it's something that we do every week. And
yeah.
We enjoy doing it. So now we're going to go a little politics. On the politics side.
Yeah, yes, gerrymandering. So, honey, what is gerrymandering?
Basically, both parties have been known to do this, which is move district lines from political district lines. So basically, they redraw the lines based on population. So as population shifts, they're going to add more districts or subtract districts. And then in some cases, they overlap them and they say, okay, we got to split it. So in case of Michigan, we had a situation where we lost a seat in DC because the population went down, and we were at one point used to be Michigan 12, we used to be Michigan 13, but I think we're the 12th now. Mm. But we still had the same rep, but we did lose a rep because fortunately she stayed in the same district, which she's been very quiet lately. I'm not going to bring that up, but so we did lose a seat. And then basically what happened is she ran and she still is in office. Same thing. Now what's happening is in Texas, mm-hmm. Jasmine Crockett basically got redistricted out. Her district does not exist. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not sure that they didn't erase it. I think what happened was she's now got to compete for that district, the new district she's in. Especially when politicians move, some politicians get higher in wealth, and they're like, and that's another thing. You shouldn't be going into politics to get wealthy.
No.
Going back into what we're saying, a lot of these people are in politics, they're getting extremely wealthy. I don't care what party you're in, you're not there to get wealthy. We've seen many politicians, not naming them, going there, oh, I don't have any money in the bank, I'm low income, you know, and then 2 years later, they're worth $1.9 million, $3 million. Mm-hmm. How did you go from your net worth being $50,000 when you got in office, and then 2 years later, you were $50 million, or 6 years later, you're worth $100 million or $50 million? Make that make sense. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are getting into the federal in office now. The new scam, and I'm saying, is, well, run for office, you get rich. It used to be you go into entertainment to get rich, you do this to get rich. But now these people are just going into, oh, you're not there. You don't have your iPad on. So
it's on, but I guess maybe because it keeps going in and out.
Yeah, let's see what's happening here.
That's fine.
But she had she had a picture of her on there.
But yeah, it's just the fact that, look, right, that's what he was saying is, you should be doing it for your constituents, okay? It shouldn't matter what party line or what districting line it is. It's just the fact that what is good for the people of the district that you're supposed to be representing. And I don't know what gerrymandering is. I have no clue about what goes on with gerrymandering. And to me, it just seems like if you're a Democrat, no matter what line you're on, if you want to run for a Democrat, run as a Democrat, whether you're a Black Democrat, whether you are a white Democrat or whatever. Whatever party line you're on, you're supposed to be representing your constituents. If no Black person is running for any party, then what do you expect? You can complain about, no, oh, there's not enough representation. Us are not representing us but they're not running. I mean, how are they representing, you know? So you're saying that you want a lot more Black people to represent you, you know?
The situation is this, when it comes to gerrymandering, redrawing district lines is something that they do every 10 years. And they can, I guess, in the situation of Texas, call an emergency session because the population grew due to the fact everybody's leaving California and moving to Texas. People are leaving other states and going to Texas. That's what happens. The more people that you get into a district, they got to do something. Mm-hmm. So they're saying gerrymandering. Let's pull up the real, let's see what they say, what is gerrymandering. And we will go from there, because to me, let's see what they say in the, basically. Okay, so basically what they're saying on, when you search a dictionary, to manipulate the boundaries of an electoral constituency so as to favor one party or class.
So that's kind of what they're saying. And we know that Texas and California are the main ones. We got a Democrat, and the interesting about California, even though what's her name? We know Kamala won California. So California was already a Democratic, basically the county. So now Newsom wants to redistrict everything in order to try to make the whole thing Democratic. But she already won. She won Democratic. I mean, she won California, which kind of made sense. But I guess, you know, but Abbott basically was saying is he wants more representation, right? Not just minority blacks. I guess he wants the Hispanic representation. He's talking about, that's kind of what he's saying. What happened with Jasmine Crockett was the fact that when she initially ran, she was in the district that it was running, that she ran for, but she moved at some point of her term. And so when she moved, if they moved that party line, the line, it threw her out of the district that she was originally in. Exactly. And she was trying to say, how many of us actually still live in that district? Well, it seemed to me you should still be living in that district in order to.
There's a couple of reps that don't live in their district, but they keep running and winning.
Right.
And they've been pointed out they don't live in their district, but they're running and winning.
Right. So at one point, I mean, to me, it seems like you should still be able to run.
Well, as it sees as here in the early 19th century, a governor, Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts.
Plus salamander from the supposed similarities between the salamander and the shape of the new voting district.
Yeah, so he created a district map. Salamander. Therefore, they merged the two words. So that's how gerrymandering became a word. So there's always an origin, but yeah, gerrymandering. And let's see here. So basically, every 10 years, like I said, that's why I said telling you, every 10 years they're supposed to do this. They redraw the boundaries of congressional and state legislative districts to reflect the population changes, a process known as redistricting. Done well is a chance to create maps that elect legislative bodies that fairly represent the communities and that are in basically, it's just a reorganization of the map. And so basically, in some of these these redistricting maps do look like somebody drew a butterfly, drew characters, like somebody just did it. I know we had the same situation happen in Michigan, so they created a body. So we have a redistricting body that has been formed that will redistrict the map and restructure it so it's more fair and balanced. But they call it gerrymandering because one party moved it. So in the case of Texas, the Republicans moved it. In the case of California, the Democrats rearranged it.
So basically, they're trying, because there's only how many seats? I think it was 140.
It's a preset amount of seats. There's 100 Senate, and I think the House is 100.
Right. So, and you can't add. So they say, well, how can they add? They're saying that you can't add seats. But what happens is because the population grows, that's how the seats are taken away from certain people. So if one state's population grew by 100,000, but the other state has not grown, so it'll be a lot more seats going to that other state, and it was going to take away a seat from the state that has yet to grow. So when people, as you're saying, when people flock to different states because of certain things, that's the reason why they're trying to have to redistrict now, because now they have to add a little bit more seats, and the other state is going to lose seats. So during COVID, right, we had a lot of Michiganders flock to, or even just Northern, right, flock to Florida. Right. And DeSantis says, oh, you could come, but don't bring that mindset with you. So that's kind of what happened. I know somebody who actually went to Florida during that time. So, and a lot of people actually had to go because, again, we were shut down, right?
Yeah, up here.
And it, so, and the, these are the only states that were offering still working, you know, offering, open, right? But anyway, so that's kind of how it is. So that's the reason why, with even now they're doing the census, right? Trump is trying to eliminate the non-immigrants off the census, you know, but non-citizens off the census, but, you know.
And I'm conflicted on that. But anyway, real quick, then we'll say this. There's 435 members in the House, six who are non-voting because they're part of, so, well, why are there six? That's U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, Puerto Rico. I believe those are the, there's another territory. So that's where the six come from. But on the whole thing about changing the census to not count the illegal, the non-citizens, I'm conflicted. And I told her this when we talked about it yesterday. My point is this. If you're not here legally, you're using our resources. The purpose for, I mean, which can do, if you're going to do that, you need to do a non, and nobody's going to do it. But the question is, how many non-citizens really do the census? That's the question.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
I, in that situation, I'm like, well, how many really do this? I mean, to me, I think.
If you're a non, I don't, I'm not going to even say illegal because it could just be if you're here for a visa, if you're here for.
And your visa expired. Right,
or not even, I'm not even saying that really. If you're just here on a visa, on a green card or whatever. So, or you just saying you're, because you're not actually a non-citizen yet and rather you're here illegally. Are you're not. You're voting in a American election in order for as a body of the of as
well,
American,
they can't vote anyway.
Right? That's what I was saying. So then there's probably no reasoning for you to vote or not. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean to say that you have a right to vote.
Well, the whole purpose,
and that's the whole purpose. That's the reason why I come back with those IDs and all that right. stuff.
Well, the real ID is really the ID that says that you're a citizen. That's the reason why they did the real ID. It's quite as kept. But when it comes to the non-citizen, the reason they do the whole, they're counting them, is because that citizen has children who are under using, I'm going to go there, using the law that was designed for former slaves called birthright citizenship. For those who don't know, it was designed for post-slavery for all the children and everybody who was born under slavery to have citizenship. That's where the birthright citizen amendment came from. It was not intended to. In my view, I don't think it was intended to be continued on because now everybody's a citizen. However, they're using that rule. So now the children become citizens under a constitutional amendment designed for post-slavery to become citizens. So their children can vote because of the way the Constitution is written, but they can't. So yeah, there are some things in there, but so as a result, their children are going to our schools. So you have to count them, they're citizens. So that's why they're counting them. That's why people say illegal. I say non-citizen. I mean, I don't mind the term. I mean, I really am getting to the point where you're non-citizen. I can't go to Canada, spend, when you go to cross, if we were to go to Canada tomorrow, you know, if we say, hey, let's go to Canada. First thing you'll ask is at the border is how long are you here for? What hotel are you staying at? And that's, they want to know exactly where you're going to be. Because, and if you're not there, if you're, if they don't have a report that you cross back over it when you're supposed to, they're coming hunting for you. In a lot of countries, China, oh my goodness, I follow a travel influencer. He didn't have a visa to stay in China, but he found a loophole that if you're doing a layover or so many hours, you don't need one. And he had to go through hoops. They need to know what hotel he was staying at. And they checked his ID. He says, I'm just here for an 8-hour layover and I don't need a visa, but they want to know everything, where you're staying. Then they want to have their app that they use in China. He says, I don't have the app. So yeah, there's countries where if you're, if you overstay your welcome, your visa, you're out. And so that's, and so when you hear people screaming, well, this is the only country that, no, you don't, you maybe need to watch more travel bloggers because they will tell you entering some of these countries is like, difficult. China is probably one of the most difficult ones that according to the one person.
Well, you can have a visa. You have to have a, you so I know going to I don't know if you have to have a visa to go to China as vacationing.
No,
if you're going there for vacation, so you have to have a visa.
You have to have a visa.
And passport, because usually some places, all they require is just having a passport in order to
Depends
go.
Depends on their arrangement with our State
Department. So let's see here. So what happens is they do have an app called WeChat.
Yep.
And everybody has to have WeChat. And they do everything. I'm sorry.
That's how they have to pay for everything.
Right. Everything's they still have currency exchanges, but not anymore. Really, everything is on WeChat now. WeChat is their social platform. You can post moments on they call them moments. You can talk back and forth. There's no more going back and forth with phone numbers. If you're a business person, yes, you give a personal phone number, but now it's just whatever. Let me have your WeChat handle. You can directly talk to them WeChat. You pay off of WeChat. It's just like your Apple phone, your iPhone.
Or WhatsApp.
Because
WhatsApp is very popular when you deal with international.
Right. So it's just like that. So when you're out there, that's the reason why they're saying you have to download the WeChat. And when you do that, and WeChat does track your location. Track you where you are. So you have to download it. So that's what he was saying when his travel blogger, he may have just been on a layover, but he wanted to walk out. But they told him, well,
He didn't get the app. He found a way because he was not there long enough. So he was able, they did let him go free to go. I mean, they will send you back on. They'll tell you stay in here. And then the next flight out, you got to go. But he was able to go to his hotel. But China is one of those, he's my favorite travel blogger, who ironically used to live in England, and he and his family got a visa to move here to the United States. So he did a whole thing on how he moved. He was trying to decide on either moving to Georgia or Texas. Where a lot of expats, as I guess they call them, people from other countries, a lot of them are moving to Texas. That's why you had the border. But but he's a visa resident. He's a resident on visa. So when it comes time for census, he may have to count, but he's legally here. So yes, if you're legally here as a resident visa tourist, you're able to stay. So, but anyway, and also WeChat is a direction that X is trying to go into. X is a race between X and Meta. Meta and X are both trying to do the same thing. So Meta, I think Meta's already there with the, you can do money exchange. I think he's already there.
Right, I don't think X, you can't do money exchange.
X is not there, but X is trying to do it all in one. Meta is divided between WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram. So they don't have one app. So that's where X is trying to do. He's trying to get it into one app where it's everything, your phone calls, your money and everything. So it's coming. And this is pretty much how they operate there in China. That's their social media platform. Mm-hmm.
And you still can add a friend. You can send a friend request. They can send money through them to the friend request. And then you can post moments. You can ask who can see your post, who cannot see your post. Same thing, you know, it's always the same thing. And you can go live on it. It's all the same. It's the same thing. If iPhones had a social media platform, technically, they would have been set because I send money through Apple Pay to my daughter, you know. So, but if they had a social media platform, technically, that's kind of how it is, you know.
Let's not give Apple any ideas.
if stores, you know, they don't registers at stores are just for people who are, you know, tourists basically. But everything you scan a barcode, you go to the store. Okay, just scan the barcode. You scan the barcode and you send your money.
Or tap here. You can tap your watch if your watch is enabled. This watch is not enabled.
Right.
But you can just tap your watch in the place. Where do you think a lot of this technology is coming from?
This one is UMS, so this might be a little bit different than WeChat.
That's probably the company that writes it.
Oh yeah, because it's WeChat.
They're not going to let. It's only one WeChat, And so basically what's happening is they're in a process of, you know, doing this realigning of districts, every state. So let me tell you this, is in 4 years, actually no, in 6 years, you're gonna hear a lot of gerrymandering. You're gonna hear that even more because we're gonna be doing our census in 2030. Wow, 2030 is our next census. 2031 is when they're going to start redrawing the district. So you'll hear a lot of this in six.
Is that reason why it's saying every 10 years?
Every 10 years.
Because of the census?
Yep. That's what it's supposed. Now, somebody can get smart and says maybe 10 years is too long. Maybe we need to do it every five. Now, I do know that they can do special census taking in the middle. So, like, there are situations what Texas is doing. They needed to re-census because the population exploded. And certain communities were not getting the money they need. Now, the whole purpose of redistricting is for money. So if Austin, for example, has a population explosion of 300,000 people, but yet the students are still receiving the same amount of money, and another area is not getting the money, it's basically about balancing the money. So it's equalizing the amount of people so that one representative has one rep in one Senate, one house person and one legislative person doesn't have, you know, 400,000 people that they got to hear. So they try to make it where the population is divided evenly between all the representatives. In the case of Texas, somebody's state lost a seat. I know Michigan lost a seat, so it probably went to Texas. So when you hear about state populations drop, that means a seat's being taken out the house that goes to another state where the population's increased. So that's what's happening. Is it gerrymandering? It's always gerrymandering. Everybody aligns their districts to fit their thing. It's just like our city we're staying in now. We went to a district system. That's like somebody says, hey, I want to make sure if we were a political party system, oh, it's a bunch of the people live in this party over here. Oh, let's redraw the district so we can make sure we get everybody. Every state, unfortunately, does it. It's just how it's done and how it's said.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. It just has come to me. So is that reason why they're trying to build low-income housings and rich neighborhoods in order to try to bring it? Because, you know, of course, Democrats are for the low people. And the rich people is always for the Republican, you know.
And the NAMBY crowd, if you don't know what NAMBY is, that in my backyard crowd. The same people, Democrat and Republican, if they'll say, we're going to build low-income houses. You hear Democrat and Republican people say, oh, we're NAMBYs. Well, you can build it in our community, but can you please put it away from my $10 million home? Put it on the border, and it's another.
I'm just saying, though, is that kind of why they're trying in order to
it increases the population,
where they're supposedly, hopefully, the Democrat of lower income Democrats, they're because they're thinking that low income people vote Democrat because Democrats supposed to give away free money, where the rich will vote Republican. So if you talk about one community that's fully rich, then they will probably think they all vote Republican.
It's no.
I don't know. I'm just asking. I just asked.
We have like West Bloomfield here in Michigan. West Bloomfield schools are very well known because it's where a lot of wealth is at. And so the schools are upkeep and everything. The education is much better. So they say, well, if we build low income housing in this, using West Bloomfield as an example, those same lower income students will get the opportunity to thrive in better schools. It's all about the education. However, people from the outside looking in don't realize that a lot of that stuff that they have in the school, because the parents have money, they're actually paying out of pocket for a lot of that stuff. So that's why, So that's the reason why their football uniforms are top notch. So if you're somebody who's low income and you're moving to a West Bloomfield, your child's playing football, you got to buy all the equipment.
Right.
And
actually, they expect you to do your booster club. They want to, which is interesting. I want to talk about Harvard in a minute, but when we know somebody who they moved out of the city into another city, and they technically it's still the level of richness, but they wanted to keep their children in the same school that they were already in, because they just didn't want to take them out because they've already been in high school. So what they had to do was they had to actually give extra in order, and they had to pay extra per child in order for them to keep their child. So it wasn't like school, as you say, school of choice. No, there ain't no school of choice. Oh, if you want to keep your child in that school district, you're going to have to pay us X amount of dollars in order to keep your child in this school district. You're going to have to pay. Basically, you're having to pay for it, not the
school board. Because the school does at that time, I'm not sure they changed it, but you're counted in the district that you live in. So the district you live in is getting the money for that student that doesn't go there.
Ah.
And so that district, and I think this is before they changed it, the school of choice. So school of choice, I think, but some of the research. So that you had to pay, which is usually, it may be $4,000 per student or $5,000 per student. That's why they were required to pay, because they weren't getting the money that the state would pay for the student, the child, even on headcount day. Even though they do headcounts, I believe because it's a non-resident student, I don't think they get the money. So each state does a non-resident student thing their own way. So
interesting.
But yeah, that's the whole point.
People were talking about, going before we close, we were talking about Harvard, and Harvard talking about they're trying to do remedial math and remedial English.
That's sad.
And but I think what they're trying to do, it has something to do with their sports league.
They want that
double A, you know, they don't, you know, because Harvard is not known for their sports, right? Mm-hmm. You know, of course we have Harvard versus Yale. We got, you know, but they want that backfield.
Yeah.
I'm gonna leave that alone. So and that's kind of what they're trying to, that's what the reason why. And yes, it doesn't make sense. But when I was in high school and we had the Fab Five, if everybody remember the Fab Five, we're not gonna go too much in it, but there it goes.
Yeah.
And they were taking certain classes.
She went to school right across the street from the stadium. What we want you to do is, you notice we got our projects on there. We have two projects that will be coming out into the iTunes, into the stores. We're working on getting that out. The Power Resilience, like I say, that you can get that right now at our Bandcamp site, garrisonhouse.bandcamp.com. 9 Gifts of Born to Praise. Actually, we've been really listening to something from each one of those. So there's different styles on there. So unlike some projects, we do have different styles of music. So you may have a country style version. You may have an urban contemporary version. So we may...
you may enjoy something. So go ahead and go over there and take a look. You can listen and see which one you'll pick out. And it's menu. It's like a couple bucks.
And it's so nice about Bandcamp is you don't have to give 19, you get 20. It's $19 the starting point. So you say, oh, you know what? I like, we'll give you this. Now, everything that you get on Bandcamp supports Garrison House.
Yes.
Everything on 9 Gifts and Born to Praise supports our film projects. So that's where, so this thing, you know, so when you do purchase, you know, we're not a 501c3, so you're getting something. So we want to make sure that you receive something. So go on there to our Bandcamp site. We will have the link up there soon on our website.
Yes, and I'm sorry, we've gone, got a few more minutes here. Happy birthday to Grandma. That's the reason why I'm wearing my hat. If you've played this long, why should you learn a hat? Happy birthday to Grandma in honor of Grandma. And see you tomorrow on
Prayer Guard.
Prayer Guard.
So we'll be on Prayer Guard tomorrow.
Yes,
see you there. Have a great day.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Darnell. Thanks for watching.
Garrison House.
come close to empty, but grace filled the space. Held on to hope in the hardest place. Been through the fire, but never got burned. These trials just showed us how much we've learned. We're still standing, we're still breathing, still got joy and we're still believing. We come through storms, but never alone. We're still standing and we're ready to move. We're still standing and we're ready to move.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, let's
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How we move on.
This is our new beginning. You, the night tried to just the soul. We're still